सहनाववतु सहनो भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी। विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः। गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं। शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं। सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। संप्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति डुक्रुन् करणे। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। The disciples of Adi Shankaracharya has been giving us an idea or a thinking about how to reach that ultimate state, which is self-realization. And to reach that ultimate state of self-realization, one component mentioned was of vairagya. And a person who has vairagya, such a person, doesn't matter where that person is, will enjoy any kind of joy. And when that person has such a vairagya, and the mind is completely immersed in the Paramatma, then doesn't matter again in what activity or with whom such a person is associated with. Yogarato va, bhogarato va. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati 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 eva. Such a person is able to rejoice. But then, without any effort, without any practice, one cannot just hope to get to that state of yoga. Something has to be done. So then, the steps were given. How do you reach there? So Bhagavad Gita, Kinchid Adhita, Ganga Jalalava, Kanika Pita, and Sakrudapiye Namurari Samarja. You do little. You don't have to do a lot. We think spirituality means we have to do a lots and lots of things. But just little. Study a little bit of Bhagavad Gita. Drink a little bit of Ganga Jal. Only one time in your life you worship Bhagavan. But in that little, You destroy your individuality. You forget about you as an individual. You forget about you as the ego. And if we can do that, then kriyate tasya yamena na charcha. When worshipping with Bhagwan, if I am not there, Bhagwan is only there. I am united with Bhagwan there. Yoga happened. If I am feeling the blessings when I take a dip in Gangaji or I drink a little bit of Gangajal, again I am united. And when I am engrossed in knowledge, where there is again no duality other than me, the self, the knowledge, again where is this duality? So for such a person, steps become easier. So we only have to do little, but it seems very, there's that catch. And that catch is, you have to be so engrossed that you forget about the whole world. Even you forget about you being present there. And if we think that I am the one doing all of this, I am the one getting all of this, what is that ultimate stage of bhakti? So that ultimate stage of bhakti is then mentioned. It's that you cry out to Bhagwan from the deepest portion of your heart and just say that I surrender. Nothing in this world can help me cross across this samsara. And I don't want this birth again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Punarapi janani jathare shayanam. Again being born in the mother's womb and then suffering the all that afflictions. Don't want to go through any of that. And it is very difficult to cross this samsara. Iha samsare bahu dustare. So therefore I ask you, krupaya pare pahi murare. You help me cross the samsara. Because you are a better boatman than I am. With that cry, with that intensity, when we reach out to Bhagwan, Bhagwan will come and help us. Like he has done for many. It is not a false promise. It is very true. Bhagavad Gita, right, says, yoga kshemam vahamyam. What is that full shloka? Ananyas chintayanto mam. Ye janah pariupasate. One who has been worshipping without any other thought but Bhagwan's in mind. For them, I take care of all their welfare, all their needs. This much understanding is what we saw. Now, the description comes, is of a yogi. Who is that yogi? When who has realized this truth, this self-realization, when it has come about for such a person, how does he look like? What does he do? So that explanation is given. What is that vairagya like of such a yogi? We have already saw the nature of vairagya in the previous shlokas. Our vairagya is there, but there is no understanding behind vairagya. Agre vahni prishthe bhanu, ratra uchibhika samarpita janu, karatala bhikshas tarutala vasa, tadapina munchati asha pasha. So has given up everything, but yet cannot get rid of this desire. And then there is another vairagi who is suramandiritara moolanivasa. But such a vairagi is what? He is able to have a joy of vairagya. Kasya sukham na karoti viraga. Because he has knowledge behind that vairagya. It's not a false vairagya. when such a person is Vairagya, what is that ultimate stage? That is kind of mentioned here. So let's take a look at that. Rathyachar pata virachita kantha. Punya punya vivarjita pantha. Yogi yoga niyojita chittah. Ramate balon mattava deva.
Ramate balon mattava deva.
Rathyachar pat virachita kanthah. Punya punya vivarjita panthah. Yogi yoga niyojita chittah. Ramate balon mattava deva. Bhaj govindam govindam bhaj mudhamate. Rathya charapata virachita kanthaha. Kanthaha means a cloth. Okay. But how is this cloth? Virachita. This cloth is made. Okay. It is not like a one fabric cloth that comes. It has been made. So how was it made? Charapata virachita. Charapata means small, small pieces of clothes that comes. I would say rag. Not even clothes. Rag. Connotation is different. They're thrown away, not useful. Thrown away kind of clothes. From that, virachita, kantha, from that a big piece of cloth that has been made. Okay. And where did this guy find this cloth, the rags? Rathya, on the street or on the roadside or on the wayside. So along the street, somebody had just tossed out all their clothes. And he gathered all of them up, made a big piece of clothes, and that's what he uses to cover himself up. That is the cloth he uses for his winter and summer. So Rathya Charapata Virachita Kantha. To show that not even relying on the world for anything. Normally people say food, clothing and shelter. This idea of clothing kind of shows that I don't have to rely on this also. Whatever clothes I will get, I will just make a big piece of cloth out of it and I will go about. If you have ever noticed, our Pujya Gurudev, or not Pujya Gurudev, Param Gurudev, meaning Swami Tapovan Maharaj, he only has one piece of cloth. He is not ever seen in two pieces. One piece, from top to bottom. That is what it means. Whatever clothes he found, he just put on. He took sannyas not out of a diksha. He was not given a diksha. He was living in Uttarkashi area as like a renunciate only. Not a formal renunciate, but as like a renunciate. And his knowledge was very well famed. So sannyasi told him that, you know, you're as good as the renunciate. You should just go ahead and renounce. This is ready, I'm ready to renounce. And he goes into Ganga and takes a dip and says all the shlokas and he self-renounced that I don't want anything of this world. Who can do that? Not everybody can do that. Because the sannyasi who told that you can renounce, already said that you are living as a renunciate. Sannyas is meant for many as a way to reach the goal. You've already reached the goal. You don't need sannyas. But for formality's sake, you just take up sannyas. So for formality purposes, he took sannyas. Whatever he found, that is what he wore. So Rathyacharpatta Virachita Kantaha. Showing that idea of complete renunciation. Not even relying that I have to work for clothing. I have to work for shelter. Whatever was given to me, I will be satisfied by that. Then Punya Apunya Vivarjita Panthaha. Panthaha means path or a walk. Jita, the path that he walks on, the path that such a Mahatma is on, is without Punya and without Papa. Meaning the actions that such a person has undertaken, those actions are not in consideration of will this result into a Punya or will this result into a Papa. Completely free from all of that. Who is worried about Papa and Punya? One who is wanting result is worried about Papa and Punya. So we all have the tendency to work because of that only. But here, one has renounced everything. So have renounced the idea or notion of I need to work for Papa and Punya. All I do, any action I do, is the understanding of yogi, that any action done is the will of Bhagavan. It is not my will. Therefore, action will, doesn't matter what it holds. If it holds Papa or if it holds Punya, it is not mine. I have nothing to hold on to. Such is the idea of a renunciate. Gurudev says that comparison with mirror. Be like a mirror that reflects everything, accepts everything, but does not hold on to everything. That's how we should be. That's what is considered as true renunciation. So even when the Papa and Punya has gone away from our notion, that I don't need to work for Papa and Punya. Such is the understanding of this Mahatma. And he is called yogi. Truly a yogi. When yoga niyojita chittaha, the mind or the thought is niyojita, is completely united in yoga, in the self, in the understanding of I am this Satchidananda Swarupa. Other than me, the Satchidananda Swarupa, there is nothing, and therefore it is my nature, and in that reveling and going about on performing the action. And how does he seem to be the, how is he seen to the world? Meaning, how does the world look at such a yogi? Ramate balaha balavat. So he is seen like a bala, a kid who is enjoying. Or unmattavat. Unmattavat, foolish. A mad person, completely gone case, lunatic. Like a lunatic, he is playing, enjoying. This is how such a yogi is. Such is the state of his association with the self that the world does not matter to such a person. He or she, wherever that person is, will not care for the upadhis, the body, the mind, the intellect. Let them do whatever they want. I am not affected by them. You remember Shukadev ji? There's that very famous story that he runs away from the house. As soon as he is born, he runs away from the house. And as he runs away, you know, he's chased after his father. His father is chasing him. Vedavyas ji, the one who composed all the Vedas, one who has all the knowledge, he gets deluded and he runs after his son. But where did you go? Where did you go? Crying like a mad person, asking the whole world, asking the trees, asking everybody, where is my son gone? And that son crosses a river or goes through a place where ladies were taking bath in a pond, in a water. And the ladies didn't even bother about covering themselves. Because this boy, when he was going through, was completely engrossed in the thought or a notion of the Paramatma. It didn't matter to him who were there. And they were completely relaxed, ease with Shukadev ji. But then from that path, Vedavyas ji came and everybody just covered themselves up. And then, you know, how come you didn't cover up? So he's Trikaladarshi, he knows everything. So he probably knew where Shukadev ji was going. But he was showing that he's gone lunatic over him. So Vedavyas ji goes, and then Vedavyas ji finds out that they covered themselves up. But you know, they didn't cover when Shukadev ji went. He said, ask why? And they said that, you know, when you are going, you still have a distinction of the bodies. You see your body different from my body and our body. Your son was not like that. He didn't see any difference. Shukadev ji, if you know, he's depicted as Digambara, wearing no clothes, roaming around in the world, talking the glories of Bhagwan Vishnu. So, something like that, completely engrossed in the thought of Bhagwan. A very recent story. You all know Sadashiva Brahmendra? Yes. Somebody here knows? Only you know, right? Okay. Sadashiva Brahmendra, you know. He was a very good, great saint and a Carnatic music musician, composer of a lot of good songs. One you probably also may have known. Pibare Ramarasam. That also is there. When my search it came up as Pibare Ramarasam also was, so I could be mistaken. So anyways, very good compositions are there by Sadashiva Brahmendra ji. So he was also like that. When he attained that self-realization, he walked around completely, you know, without any clothes. So one day what happened was, he was just in his trance, he was just walking. And as he was walking, he happened to enter the camp of a Muslim king. Muslim king and all his people were there. So he entered the camp and he started walking, and he entered one of the tents. And he entered in his condition, and in that tent were all the queens of the king. And there was a big loud sound. Everybody shocked and yelling top of their lung. Hey, a naked person is in our cabin. And he didn't even bother. He didn't even understand what was going on. He just kept on walking. And he came out from the other side of the tent. And all the soldiers and guards were all alarmed. And they informed the king. The king came running out. he saw what happened. So angry, he just chopped off both the hands of Sadashiv Brahmendraji. With a sword, right then and there. And this yogi, he continued walking. Not affected by what happened. He didn't even realize that he lost his arms. The arms were on the ground. Blood is oozing out from the shoulder. And he is continuously walking. So engrossed in this thought of self-realization. He's walking, walking, and then the king realizes, what happened? This guy doesn't seem to be affected. So he realizes that, you know, he made a really huge mistake, that this was some sadhu that I disrespected. So he goes to the sadhu. He, you know, bows down to him and says, I'm really sorry, I didn't know who you were. You know, I chopped off your hand. He says, oh, I didn't even realize. And he says, what do I do with them? The king asked. He says, wherever you cut it from, you just put it back there. So the king just put the hand next to the shoulder and they all again merged back and he was walking. Everything, it seemed like nothing happened. Nothing changed and they were all shocked. How did this happen? Obviously he had a power. He was not just a you know, fool. He was a mystic. So he had the yoga with which he was able to join things together. So this is how the state of yoga is. Now to the world seems like a mad person only. But for such a person, there is no other thing. It's just himself everywhere. Seeing everything as himself. So then who can destroy such a person? Kam ghatayati hanti kam. Bhagavad Gita. Who can destroy such a person? And who can be killed? Or who can kill or who can be killed? So, the idea here is that the state of yoga is this, where one is so engrossed in the self or in Bhagavan that the world no longer seems to be the world. The transactions no longer seem to be a transaction of differences. It is just me transacting with my own self. Now, if you look at that transaction and the transaction of a kid, a bala, a small child, who is so ignorant of the fact what is happening in this world. If you give him a toy or her a toy, simply playing, and there could be a big battle going on next to that kid. Mother and father fighting like cats and dogs. And the kid is just simply amazed with the toy and just going on. That is the level of engrossment. That is what is compared. Or a foolish person. The whole world thinks that person is foolish. He thinks the whole world is foolish. And he goes about with his business. He says, I don't care what the world thinks. I know in my mind I am fine. The world is foolish to consider me as a fool. So let them consider. I am going to do what I want to do. You heard that joke once? Guruji only tells. So Guruji tells that there was one guy, and you know, this guy was going on the road, and all of a sudden he gets a call from his wife. He says, honey, I heard that there is a crazy guy on the road who is going in the opposite direction. So you be careful. So he replies to the wife and says, Sweetheart, there are so many crazy guys coming in the opposite direction. How do I know which one to avoid? He's the one going in the wrong direction. So that's what it is like. But he's not fool like that. He's so engrossed in this nature of the self that it doesn't matter. Unmattavat. Now, why is this thinking, or what is the purpose for this? Yoga is one state where you can only appreciate till you reach that. I cannot fake it. I cannot say, okay, I'm going to fake to be in this state and then appreciate it. No, I cannot do that. But what I can do is, in my spiritual sadhana, I can forget about the whole world while I'm in sadhana. That time period where I'm engrossed in the study of Shastra, I forget about anything else. There is no other world. The time period that I'm sitting for puja, there is no other in this world for me. It is just me and Bhagwan. And when I reach a state where there is no me also in the puja, it is just worship, then that is the highest level of bhakti that one achieves. That is the yoga that we want to achieve as a practice. And if we continue that practice, that state will become very easy to attain. So a thought or an idea of practice is completely separate ourselves from the world as we do our practices. Force the mind to stay in the thought that it has to stay in. And as we continue to force the mind to do what it wants, what we want to do, mind will align itself. It will come to this understanding that I should stop messing around, because there is nothing in this world that will give me that joy. And it will find more joy in that spiritual practice. So yes, this is continuous. I have to keep this going. And then leave it up to Bhagwan. He will see our cry and he will say, yes, you're eligible now. And here it is, moksha given to you. How does it become easy to give up this world? What thinking should be there? Or when this yogi who renounces, why has it become so easier for such a yogi to renounce this world? That thought is explained at the next shloka. Kastvam koham kuta ayatah. Kame janani ko me tatah.
Kame janani ko me tatah.
Iti paribhavaya sarvamasaram.
Iti paribhavaya sarvamasaram.
Vishvam tyaktva swapna vicharam. Kastvam koham kuta ayatah, kame janani ko me tatah, iti paribhavaya sarvamasaram, vishvam tyaktva swapna vicharam, bhaja govindam, Govindam bhaja mudhamate. Vishwam, this whole world, swapna vicharam tyaktva. Tyaktva, having given up what? The whole world. Considering it as vicharam, considering, thinking, it is swapna. So thinking of this whole world as dreamlike, having given all of that up, sarvam asaram iti paribhavaya. Consider all of that to be without essence. The whole world, think of it as dreamlike, without any essence. That is the understanding. And with that understanding, then you ask this question. Kastvam, who are you? Koham, who am I? Kutah ayatah, where have you come from? Kame janani, who is my mother? And ko me tatah, who is my father? So, the meaning here, if you just look at this word, what is this disciple saying of Adi Shankaracharya? He's saying, who is my father? Who is my mother? Do you want me to just give up all my relations here on this earth? This is what Vedanta does to people. All this useless junk putting in their head and then calling themselves Vedantins. If you look at it that way, then obviously it is true. But that is not the meaning here. Change the understanding and ask the same question from the perspective of your dream. Who are you? The other person that you are seeing in dream. Who are you? Who am I? Where did you come from? Who is the mother in the dream? Who is the father in the dream? Was the mother born before the father? Was the mother born before the child? Who was born first? In dream, can we say any of that is real? No. Obviously, you're waking. Obviously, you're awake. That's when you're telling that none of it is real. In dream, we will only also know that it is real only. When we are dreaming, it will always be seen as real. But when you come and ask this question from waking, who was my mother in my dream? It was me only. I just divided myself in a thought. And I took that form of my mother. But it was my mind only. What were the objects that I was enjoying? It was me only, my thought only. I was enjoying my thoughts, just taking a different form. Who was suffering? Me only suffering, not a mind different from me. Who was happy? That same mind happy. Everything was the same. Therefore, it is asaram. It is without essence. Because there was no separate joy that was attained. There was not something that was attained in dream or something lost in dream. I myself was playing with myself. Then this understanding becomes much meaningful. If I am taking the waking world as it is, then the transactions of the waking world, as my mother, as my father, as the relations, they all become real. They all become meaningful to me. But to who? To the upadhi. To this body, mind, and intellect, they are all real. But if you can understand the idea of the dream And you can apply that knowledge of the dream in the waking. That they are all, from the absolute standpoint, me alone. Then their meaning loses its effect. Then they're no longer meaningful. They become asara, without any essence. So two things that are mentioned. This world is essenceless. Because that which gives it an essence, gives an essence to the world is me, myself. If I am not there, how can I give any essence to this world? If I, the Satchidananda Swarupa, is not present, how can anything in this world make a meaning? Just as how, if the light were not there, sun was not there, would this room have any transactional value? There will be complete darkness. You cannot say, I have an inner light in me. Which, with that inner light, I can find my way around here. The light that we will use is our senses to feel where it is. Correct? Similarly, what is that light which even makes the senses do the thing that it does? Make it go and search for objects. What is that light? That is me. I make it possible. I energize this world and I motivate it to function in this world. Without me, this world is nothing. This is the sara. This is the essence. So, why is this world asara? The world is asara is because the truth is the sara. The truth is the essence of it. And how do I come to know that the world is asara? It's in two ways. One is, I know that the world is false. How do I know the world is false? Because it is like a dream, which is false. I compare it to the dream. When I compare it to the dream, the world becomes false. And if it becomes false, it has no essence. Just as how a gold ornament cannot have an essence without the gold in it. You take a gold murti of Ramchandraji. Okay? And then you take, not gold murti. Wooden murti, okay, wooden idol of Ramachandraji, and a gold idol of Ravan, and you go and sell it. Which one will get you more money? Which has value? The gold has the value. So therefore you'll get more money for the gold. Wood has no value. The point is, the sara, having forgotten and considering the world to be the sara and comparing that to the dream, we can come to know that it is a sara. Other way to think about it is, knowing that the sara is the truth, knowing that the absolute is the truth, then comparing it to that truth, I can say that the world is a sara also. So two ways to think about it. Okay, I'll repeat it one more time. You can compare the world to the swapna and say that because it is like swapna, it is essenceless. Or you compare the world to the absolute, and because it is not like the absolute, you say it is also again a sahara. Because it changes. The absolute does not change. If the absolute doesn't change and this world changes, where is the meaning in it? There is no meaning in it. Then everything else becomes just detail. Kame janani ko me tata. But that doesn't mean we go to our parents and say, Kame janani ko me tata. As I took you to school and you're telling me this. And then you will tell, Dhiranji told, this is what Vedanta says. Then they'll come and tell me, what have you been teaching? When transaction comes, know that transactions are temporary. But just because it's temporarily real doesn't mean it is absolutely real. So for transaction purpose, you transact. You do consider them to be parents. But know that their essence is not there without you. You, the Satchidananda Swarupa. Without you, that essence is not there. And therefore, should not forget that and then become engrossed in transaction. That's the idea. And this is what a yogi considers. Completely essenceless, and therefore goes on doing what he does. Not worried about papa and punya. Because who has to worry about papa and punya? One who feels that there is an essence in it will have to say that, yes, I want punya, I want papa. One who considers there is no essence in it, what papa and punya? One who takes a sword and makes a line in the water and says, I did a papa by cutting the water. Will there be a papa or punya? No. Like that is this idea. Okay. Further, we will see with our next class. Yes. It is, right? Yeah.